Reduction in Quality Control Act or substantially similar legislation. Because of the joint rules, we will not be voting on this these resolutions today. We will take testimony and discussion. We will take additional testimony tomorrow and pass the bill out shortly. We have Co-Chair Grunberg here at this time. And do we have any witnesses?
This is Dwayne French from Anchorage, and I would like to testify.
All right, we'll take Mr. French from Anchorage first, Dr. Moran from Fairbanks second, and Don Brandon next. We have Representative Pettijohn here too. Mr. French would like to identify yourself and where you're, to whom you're speaking.
My name is Don Brandon from Fairbanks, Alaska.
Whoops.
I thought we had Dwayne French.
Let's take Mr. French first, then Dr. Moran, and then Mr. Brown.
All right. My name is Dwayne French, and I am calling as an individual, but also as a representative of Access Alaska in Anchorage. And I would just like to encourage DHS committee to support this resolution, as it has been a very difficult task in the past for the State Department of Health and Social Services to complete the application for the waiver and have it accepted. And this has been attempted for 3 years, and up to this point, they still haven't accepted the application, and there has been an increasing number of errors and areas where they had more questions year after year. And so I feel that it would ease the bureaucracy and make the necessary services available through the waiver possible if the restrictions were eased and the application process were made so that it was more understandable, and also would so that the states would have a better opportunity to meet the requirements of Medicaid for the waiver.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Any questions of the witness? Thank you, Mr. French. Could we have Dr. Moran? There are no questions of Mr. French, and we'll go to Dr. Moran at this point.
Hello, thank you for having the hearing. I want to say, first of all, I think that I'm glad to see you as a committee introducing the Resolution 58. I think it's very well written, very clear what its effects would be, and it's very much in line with what the intent of the original federal action was, to create a Medicaid waiver program in the first place. Several years ago, the Governor's Council for the Handicapped and Gifted urged the Department of Health and Social Services to try to take advantage of the Medicaid program, the waiver program, so that we could obtain federal, or at least a portion of federal funds for some of the community services that we need to provide to people in Alaska. And the legislature provided $5,000, in fact, for a special consultant to assist the department to make the department's second application more broad in scope and to cover more of the kinds of community services that will keep people from relying on institutional care. It seems clear to me that the state of Alaska has been treated unfairly by the federal government, and I guess we're in the same situation as many other states across the country. And I understand from the Division of Public Assistance that the federal comments on our last waiver application were such that to write another application, which would be probably dealt with just as narrowly by the federal interpretation that's in vogue right now, would require 6 or 8 months of staff work at the Division of Public Assistance, and we're confident that the work has already been done that needs to be done, and that we need to begin to implement the program here. And finally, I just want to remind you that in terms of maximizing use of federal dollars, that if we could have a good waiver program, we could be serving 150 to 200 people with disabilities in community services who are right now in more restrictive environments than they need to be. And the cost right now at Harborview, for example, is about $270 a day, and that's $100,000 a year for a service that isn't indicated for several of those people who are there. So I urge you to pass Resolution 58, and we will certainly utilize it in talking with Senator Murkowski and Representative Young and Senator Stevens at the federal level. I guess that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions of the witness? There being no questions of the witness, could we go on to Mr. Brennan?
Yes, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. I think that Mr. French and Ms. Turan have covered very extensively the needs and the purposes behind our being here. I think they've given some very extensive background as far as the way things have taken place over the last few years and why it hasn't taken place. And in talking with Kim Bush personally, I just want to verify the information that Don was giving you is what Kim was saying when the state was turned down initially. And in conjunction with Mr. French, there are many consumers in Access Alaska in the interior serves that could benefit from this in the home service. And I just want to support what they're saying. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions of the witness? Thank you. Our first witness down here is John Tabor. Rod Beatty of Department of Health and Social Services.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Rod Beatty, Director of the Division of Medical Services, and I'm here to express the Department's strong support for the resolution. We have, as other witnesses have already testified, attempted on several occasions to file an acceptable application with federal officials, and having very limited staff resources to do that with, as we have expended all the energy that we think we can afford at the present time, without having additional staff on board just to deal with this process. It seems every time we file an application, the federal officials turn more people loose on it on their end to generate more questions that weren't brought up the last time, and essentially get us into a correspondence course that just drags on for months. And we did get assistance last year when we filed the last application, when we were working with the Governor's Council on Handicap and Gift to put together the application from an individual who had successfully done it for another state. And even that didn't seem to appease the folks who were reviewing the application in the federal offices. Part of the problem is that some states have produced a program which spends more than what it would have under the old arrangement for people who served in an institutional setting. We think our application precludes that from happening. We think that the individual case scrutiny that would be given and the cost standards that would be applied under our application would not generate a situation where we would have people who would otherwise not be accommodated in the program, and that they would be taken care of at a rate comparable to long-term care or hospitalization. And because of the federal attitude being extremely gun-shy at the moment with the program and their general intent to deny as many applications as they can and to cause states to go through an extended waiting period to learn whether or not they're going to have their programs renewed, it's just become a pretty frustrating environment. And I think this would go a long ways towards giving the delegation an incentive to go after Health and Human Services and Congress to try to get some greater flexibility for the states.
Thank you. Do you have any comments on the other resolution, AFDC, Error Reduction and Quality Control Act amendment?
I just have a general comment that I'd be real supportive of that resolution as well. At one time, I was director over both medical assistance and public assistance areas, And I think that the state would be well served to pass the second resolution as well to try to give us some breathing room while Congress reconsiders the whole QC sanction process and whether it's going to achieve the end that they thought it would.
Thank you. Are there any questions of the witness? Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One thing I'm considering doing to offer an amendment tomorrow when we actually pass these out, that the copies of these bills would be sent to the health committee of each other state house and senate to try to get the other states in line on both of these resolutions, because I think it's going to require a considerable groundswell to get Congress to move on either of these issues. Do you or does the department here have liaison with the departments in other states?
Yes, we do. We have a mailing list for all the Medicaid directors across the country.
Yeah, assuming that the legislature passes this and disseminates it to the other states, I think that we would be very grateful for any assistance you can give in getting this passed elsewhere, because it's, in some senses, there's no controversy once you educate the legislators. It's a question of letting them know, and then they will act accordingly. But if you could assist in that area, if the department could assist by working in liaisoning with other departments, I think that would help get these federal laws changed.
We'd be real happy to help do that.
Representative Hammond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Beattie, I was curious, would we be looking at would we be spending then more Medicaid dollars or fewer dollars would you anticipate if this waiver were granted?
If implemented, there'd be an initial increase in total Medicaid spending. And down the road long term, it's hard to tell what the net effect would be, because it's a trade-off between adding more nursing home beds in this state or increased acute care beds. But the governor was prepared to do that. He said in his State of the State last year that he was prepared to go after the Medicaid waiver, and he had sitting ready a proposal requesting additional funding and staff to, in fact, cause this to happen. Now, it hasn't been reexamined in light of the current revenue situation, but the point is, under this resolution, the governor and the legislature would be able to make that decision in terms of whether the state could afford to take on that new program and try to make it work, and in the long run, save money and treat people in a more appropriate environment.
Thank you.
Representative Taylor? Representative Taylor? Yeah. Do you have a question?
No, I didn't.
It was my hand. I had one other question. Is the governor introducing some legislation, or is there something in the works concerning additional funding for home-based health care attendance this year?
There's a piece of legislation under consideration of the governor's office, which has not had a final decision, it's very close, I think, to one, which would add personal care to the Medicaid program and would have a fiscal note. $500,000 state general funds tied to it. And the department did make that recommendation. The bill's been drafted by the Department of Law, and I think it's just being prioritized with other bills that the governor's looking at. And the final answer is been reached in this problem.
Any other questions?
Thank you. Yes,
you do.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What is the relationship, if that passes, with what we're doing in this resolution? I don't understand how they relate together.
In 1983, the legislature added home and community-based waivers to the Medicaid program. Essentially, we could add that service, which includes much more than personal care. We would combine physician services, personal care services, home health services, homemaker services, residential care, a whole range of services to keep somebody in their community or in their own home and meet their medical needs without putting them in a long-term care facility or keeping them in a hospital. So personal care is just one of a number of services that are in that total set of things that we would offer under this particular resolution.
I would be grateful if you can get me in writing a letter or something indicating what exactly will come under the Medicaid waiver. That way, when this bill gets to the floor, in case we're asked questions, I'll know what we're really talking about.
Sure.
Thank you. Are there any other witnesses to speak on either House Joint Resolution 58 or 59? Mr. Tatum?
Mr. Chairman, my name is John Tabor. I am Director of the Division of Public Assistance, Department of Health and Social Services.
With me is Jim Norman, who is the quality control coordinator for the department. I'm sure happy to respond to any questions that I might not be able to answer for you. I am here, as Mr. Beatty is, to testify in favor of Resolution 59. We have a number of concerns, as evidenced by the handout that I just distributed to the committee concerning the fiscal sanctions that the department is facing for fiscal year 85. included in this handout is a summary of what happened because you ended up with being there, chain there to higher and higher percentages, and what just happened in terms of the fiscal sanctions that are applied in Alaska based upon our current rate of expenditures for FTC. As you can see, for the year 1985, we appear to be subject to about $1.5 million worth of fiscal sanctions for the AFTC program based on our payment error rate of 9.973%. For food stamps, we're eligible for penalties of $1,395,000 based on our error rate of 11.774%. The bad news is that those error rates are climbing. And I'm not here to really talk about that so much as I am to talk about the problem of the error rates and how they're computed. And I just want to generally run through some comments that we feel are pertinent to this issue of the way that the quality control system functions on a national level. We feel that this is a system that's based on technicalities, not on realities. We think that that's evidenced by the fact that 45 of the states are currently facing fiscal sanctions in at least one of the three federal programs that provide for sanctions, AFTC, food stamps, and Medicaid. The technicalities relate to a wide array of factors in the quality control system and in the programs themselves that underlie the system. We're dealing with extraordinarily complicated federal programs, the rules for which are imposed for the most part by the federal government. Medicaid, of course, and AFDC being 50-50 federal and state funded, food stamps being 100% federal benefits and 50-50 financing of the administrative costs. The federal government has a very large stake in efficient administration of those programs and has assumed a major role in defining what is erroneous administrative behavior. However, that definition has become extremely arbitrary over time and relates very much to minor technical distinctions between programs and between eligibility and ineligibility or between benefit levels to which someone might qualify or for which someone might qualify in the programs. The programs, as I said, are terribly complicated. And to give you an example of the kind of technical error that we sometimes encounter, let me cite a case from a recent quality control review period in which the state was found to have committed a payment error that actually resulted in client ineligibility because of the fact that a paycheck that was sent to the client and supposed to have been received on the 1st of the month of September was in fact received on the 31st of the month of August and cashed. And therefore, the client had received that amount of additional income in the month of August rather than in the month of September. Now, when the client reported the receipt of that income to us, she looked at her pay stub and it said 1 September and jotted on her monthly report to the state, I received this pay in the month of September. But later on a very detailed, in-depth quality control review done under federal mandate, it turned out that in fact, because of the way the paychecks were distributed, she had inadvertently received it the day before and not noted that on her form to us, her monthly report.
Why wasn't the post office fined for that?
Well, that sounds like a good idea to me, Mr. Chairman. The problem being that, of course, there was no payment error on net as far as the client was concerned. If we had known the client had gotten the money in August, we would have had to reduce her grant by the amount of that. Instead, we reduced her September grant by the amount of the pay received. So the client got nothing extra. The state got nothing extra. The feds find an error in September. We have an underpayment. And in August, because we have an overpayment. They net out, but we have two payment errors as far as the state is concerned. Now, in reality, under the federal system, we would only be charged for one of those because only one of those 2 months was the review month. But nevertheless, that's the situation in which we find ourselves, in, embroiled in that kind of super technical distinction between right and wrong, between overpayment and underpayment. And I could go on and on citing examples along the same lines, and I don't want to bore you with that. I think that that illustrates very well the kind of problem that we're dealing with. Correct treatment of a client in one program is incorrect treatment in another. A person who is a member of a food stamp household may not be a member of an AFDC household. And yet the same family is reporting on the same forms, is applying on the same forms, is reporting to the same eligibility worker, and is going through all of the administrative processes associated with receiving public assistance for both food stamps and AFDC in exactly the same way. And yet, because of the technical distinctions in who is part of a household between those two programs, the state could, and the client could inadvertently, very easily make a serious payment or even eligibility error as between their food stamp grant or their AFDC grant. Just to cite the principal distinction there, an individual in a food stamp household who lives in the same household and prepares meals with the other people, members of that household, is for food stamp purposes a member of that household. But for AFDC purposes, a person who is an unrelated person who happens to be living in the same household has no family relationship, may eat with them, may, you know, have any kind of relationship they want to with them, would not be part of the AFDC household unless there was some family relationship. Okay? That's the kind of problem that we're dealing with. And clients don't understand those distinctions. They frequently misreport based on their inability to understand those distinctions, and we end up taking the brunt of that in terms of a quality control payment error when those cases pop up in a quality control review. In short, Mr. Chairman, we strongly support the resolution proposed by the committee urge that the federal government do seriously reconsider the entire system of quality control. I would like to suggest, however, that we would like to work with the committee on some of the wording of the resolution. There has been recently enacted by the federal government in the Farm Bill legislation that the President signed, I believe, on the 31st of December, or thereabouts, a moratorium on the collection of food stamp sanctions. And there was also included in that bill a study, a mandate for a study by the National Academy of Sciences and by the Department of Agriculture of the Agriculture or Food and Nutrition Service quality control system. And so there is underway for the one program for food stamps a study, or will soon be underway, a study that will examine the acceptability of this as a method of measuring the quality of administration of states. Similar legislation is pending for AFDC and for Medicaid, and as currently written, would actually provide for a longer period of moratorium, I believe 2 years. Collection and a similar study of the quality control system. I believe that it might be appropriate, and would suggest that it would be appropriate for the committee to consider holding off on the portion of the resolution that suggests an alternative system of quality control pending the outcome of these studies, rather than imposing at this point a mandate for a 4% rate or any of the other elements of the suggested program. That, I believe, would be a timely consideration at this point and wait for some of the results of that review. Very frankly, there are serious problems that I haven't even mentioned in terms of the statistics underlying the way that the error rates are computed, and a lot of work needs to be done in that area. The 4% is a rate that I think has some merit, but is certainly subject to question, for example, with respect to food stamps, which currently has a 5% tolerance rate. The current national error rate for AFDC is in the neighborhood of 6%, and so even under a 4% standard, virtually the average national rate is 6%, so virtually every state would be subject to fiscal sanctions at a 4% level, although the standard for AFDC and Medicaid at this point is 3%. But there are a lot of considerations, in short, and I think that the first part of the resolution, which urges that hold be put on this, is the most important part at this point. Alaska faces a total, you have statistics for fiscal 85, we currently face a total, including these, of nearly $12 million in fiscal penalties, beginning with 1981 and moving forward. All of those are under appeal, administrative or judicial at this point, but nevertheless, that's a formidable expense that Alaska could be subject to, ultimately, if we were to lose on this today.
Thank you. Could we get the material that that we might use for the amendment perhaps tomorrow, so that we can have an amended, we can, the co-chair can develop an amendment?
Yes, may I, Mr. Chairman?
Certainly.
What I'd like to do, Mr. Tabor, is we're going to pass these bills, or at least vote on them, depending on whether people want to pass them out or not, tomorrow at the same time. And I hear what you're saying. I'm not entirely clear in all respects precisely what you're recommending. And I would just ask the other members of the committee, do you want to take up committee time for me to question Mr. Tabor now, or if it's agreeable with you, I'll just talk with him privately and we'll come back with a committee substitute tomorrow. Then we'll do that. We won't take any more time now, but I'd ask you to stick around.
Be happy.
Are there any other questions of the witness? Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other witnesses? There are no other witnesses. I think we will adjourn and meet again tomorrow. Yes, early.
Mr. Chairman, I won't be able to be here tomorrow, and I would like to be able to support these bills.
Well, if it's all right with you, Mr. Chairman, and the other members of the committee, what we'll do is, assuming people vote to pass these out with individual recommendations, I will make certain for anybody who's not here that we present to you the report for your individual recommendations.
Representative Hanley.
Just a note that I did have the information that Senator Stevens is co-sponsor of the United States Senate version of HJR 59. And is supporting the AFDC Error Reduction and Quality Control Act, and Senator Murkowski also supports that particular resolution. Plus, Senator Murkowski's office indicated that he had no problem with HJR 58 and with the Department of Health and Social Services doing what the resolution requests.
Thank you.
May I just inquire? I assume that Senator Stevens also supports HJR 58 or that equivalent.
I think we probably didn't get that information. I'm not sure this is the information that we got from the offices.
Thank you. If any of the delegation has problems, if you let us know, we'll attempt to see what we can do.
The time is now 5 minutes after five. The meeting is adjourned.
I'm just
leaving
stuff here.
We'll
call your office.
Oh.
I'm really excited about it.
I'm just sorry.
I was really pleased. I was scared to death. I said, look, there's something you guys think about it. They said a guy over right away and said, we love this.
Good. Good.
Oh, thank God.
Good.
We may have hit bingo.
We have committee members, Paul, Alice, Dave. We have the materials that were handed to the Senate on the mental health trust plan. Those people who wanted to
put nothing else in.
Want the materials. If you don't want additional paper, you don't have it. But if you're interested, we have them here.
Different from what we got at the hearing.